So, matter cannot be self-existent. All right. If matter is not self-existent, then from where does it come? So his answer is a very paradoxical answer. It does not exist. Matter does not exist, but somehow exists. It doesn't exist, but somehow exists. Now, Plato is fully aware that he is making a statement which is really not palatable. He is very, very clear. He is not that he is putting forth something, but he is obliged. He feels there is something which is not understandable. So his answer is, a non-existent which attains to existence by partaking of universals. Something that does not exist but begins to become existent when universals are impregnated by it. That by that it does not exist. An impossible statement, but that is where Plato, great Plato, ultimately ends. You can see the difficulty of the problem. And this problem will come back again and again when you study philosophy more and more. And I hope you will continue with me for years and years to study philosophy. It's a lifelong study. Philosophy is never at the end. You can begin at a given time, but you cannot end it. So it is a long program. And whenever you study philosophically, this is one of the problems you will come across again and again. So we repeat now. Non-existence, which grows into existence by partaking of the universals. Because universals exist. So if universals are impregnated into that which is non-existent, it begins to exist. Matter which is non attains some existence by partaking of those in it. And this part of universals takes place, this of non-coming existence by partaking of the universals. When this takes place, but for particular the origin of matter, universals to matter, does not exist. But begins to exist to some extent, universal impregnated into matter. This impregnation of universals in matter is particular. Now this concept is not understandable. Not understandable because it is the farthest attempt of a philosopher to understand something that he cannot understand, or anybody can understand. This is the beginning and the end of Platonic philosophy, basically. If you make these 6-7 statements, you have the grasp of Plato. Plato himself is aware of the unsatisfactoriness of his own theory. But he puts before the world, saying, improve upon it. Fine. I am only putting before you a problem. If anybody can give a better solution, I am ready. Can you give a better solution to the problem? Now, in philosophical terms, therefore, this philosophy can be termed as dualistic philosophy. It's a philosophy of dualism, according to which, on one hand, universals are self-existent. On the other hand, there is a non-existent existent matter which gives rise to particulars by their interaction. From where matter comes into existence, one does not know according to this theory. It doesn't really exist. So there is no question of how does it come into existence. It really does not exist. So you can see that when you try to understand the relationship between the universe and the particular, you are face to face with a very serious problem, not a solution, but a serious problem. You cannot say that Plato has solved the problem. He has only stated the problem. But in accurate terms, so that you cannot escape the problem. Whenever the world exists as it is, now you have to explain the world. And you can say the world is not explained by Plato. Utmost that he has done is this. So this is one of the problems which will remain with us for a long time. Let it remain. It's a philosophy of dualism, but a dualism of a very peculiar kind. One exists and another does not exist, which exists. Pure dualism is a theory in which two self-existents are side by side. That is pure dualism. Two self-existent realities sitting side by side in juxtaposition is dualism. But Plato's dualism is slightly different. Self-existence which subsists side by side with something that does not exist
which exists.
Non-existent, existent matter. According to Plato, it is only on this basis that you can explain the world. Then there are some other problems also in Plato. This is the major problem, major fact. The fact of universality and fact of particularity is the major fact of the world. Everywhere you go, anywhere, that's the spirit of philosophy. Philosophy can tell you the whole world is nothing but universals and particulars. And when you try to explain the relationship between the two, a philosopher like Plato has only this to offer, which is unsatisfactory, but it's a challenge to all of us. Can you resolve this problem satisfactorily? So this is one statement, one part of Plato's philosophy. Second part of Plato's philosophy is this theory of the soul. According to Plato, there is a multiplicity of souls, and each soul is immortal. And every soul forgets itself in this body. The body which is occupied by the soul is a condition of the forgetfulness of the soul. And this gaining of the knowledge is remembrance. That is to say, the soul, before it comes into the body, knows the universals. When it falls into the body, it forgets the universals. And when it begins to recover the universals, it gains knowledge, then that knowledge becomes remembrance. He remembers. All knowledge, according to Plato, is remembrance. And the soul goes from body to body. Now it is in one body. After the death of the body, it goes into another body. So Plato believes in transmigration of the soul. Soul migrates from one body to the other. There is rebirth of the soul in the body. Plato believes in rebirth. Now there are questions. This is only a statement of Plato's theory of the soul and immortality. Is the soul particular or universal? If it is particular, then it must be existent, non-existent. If it is existent, non-existent, it can't be immortal. But it is immortal, according to Plato. Of that is certain. Soul is immortal. Is it universal? No. Each soul is different from other soul. Is it an idea by its nature, as all universals are? No. Soul is not only an idea. Soul perceives ideas, conceives ideas. It is capable of ideas, capable of conceiving ideas. It is a soul which is capable. So it is an entity. Soul is an entity. Each soul is an entity capable of conceiving universal ideas. And the more it conceives universalities, the more it remembers its immortality. Once again, there is a problem of universals and the souls, entities which are called souls. From where have they come? Have they come from the universals? Are they derived from the universals? No. They are there. So it is not only dualism. Now you have got pluralism. There is universal, there is matter, and now there are multiplicity of souls. And finally, Plato speaks of God. What is God? His answer is, the supreme idea which combines three highest ideas, namely truth, beauty and goodness. There are three great ideas, highest ideas. These three great ideas, when they are synthesized, then that is a supreme idea, which he calls the good. Supreme idea is, he simply says, supreme idea can be designated as the good. This supreme idea, the good, is one in which truth is good and truth is beauty. Beauty is truth and beauty is good. And good is beauty and good is truth. And all the three are reconciled, identical. When the three become one, reconciled, synthesized, that is a supreme good. So God is that good. The good is the idea, supreme idea. So the question is now, is God the supreme idea? Supreme universal.
His first answer is yes. But it is much more, he says. God is not merely the supreme good. God is something that exceeds essence in dignity and power. God exceeds essence. That's a very important statement. God exceeds essence. He is more than essence. God is a being, not only essence, which is impersonal principle. To that extent, God is personal. He is a person. God is not only a principle, but a person. He exceeds, he perceives, he reconciles ideas. Is he universal? Yes, but he exceeds universal. Universals are essences, but he exceeds universal. Is God particular? No. Particular exists does not exist, but God supremely exists. He said, one God or many gods? God is one, he says. But that one is not particular. If he is only one, normally it's a particular. It's not particular. He is not universal, he exceeds universality. One God that exceeds universality, which is himself not a particular one, that is God. Now once again you will find, just as in the case of universal and particular a problem, just as there is a problem in regard to the soul and universals, similarly here also there is a problem. God, universality, particularity. This is the totality of Plato's philosophy in nutshell. What I am telling you is a result of my study for years. In books you may not find so easily this kind of statement which I am making now. In books you will find very, very perplexing statements and difficult statements. I am making it as simple as possible. Consequently we find this large amount of writing that Plato has done, so sublime, so beautiful, so wonderful. When you analyze, you find riddles, unresolved riddles. Are they unresolvable? The unresolved question is, are they unresolvable? Plato has not been able to resolve them. He has presented the problem very squarely. That is why from Plato many philosophies have arisen. When you have very powerful ideas, powerful facts put together, but not yet reconciled, then people try to reconcile in many ways. That is how Plato is a source of many systems of philosophy. Many people who came after Plato have tried to reconcile these irreconcilable propositions or unreconciled propositions. It is why it is said that the whole of Western philosophy is footnote to Plato. Because all that has come out of Plato is only a footnote. Basically all propositions are in Plato. It's the main book. All others are only footnotes. Right? You may say that today was the first philosophy lecture after so many years. So we shall continue tomorrow. All right.